Welcome to the Harmonia Early Music Podcast. I'm Janelle Davis. The Golden Age of the Cornet is the title of Le Concert Brisé's recording dedicated to the repertoire of this instrument, the cornet, which is alternately called the cornetto and in some countries, the zinc. Recorded separately in 2003 and 2005, the two disc set can be heard together in a program released by the Accent label in 2013. Not to be confused with a modern valved brass instrument similar to the trumpet, the most common 16th century cornet was a bit longer than, say, an alto recorder. Cornets are made from a hollowed-out piece of wood and are very often curved to the right and covered over with leather. There are 6 finger holes and a thumb hole drilled into the body of the instrument, and it's played with a small cup-shaped mouthpiece. So when exactly was the golden age of the cornet? The music included on this recording extends from the last decades of the 16th century to music published in the 1660s. Looking to contemporary source accounts from this period regarding the cornet, two things become immediately apparent. The cornet was admired for its beauty of tone, and the cornet was highly regarded for its virtuosity. In his division manual, Il vero modo di diminuire, the 16th century musician Girolamo della Casa noted that, of all of the wind instruments, the most excellent is the cornet, for it imitates the human voice more than the others. This instrument is played piano and forte and in every sort of tonality, just like the voice. And in his 1636 book, Harmonie Universelle, French music theorist Marin Mersenne described the cornet like the brilliance of a shaft of sunlight appearing in the shadows or in darkness when one hears it among the voices in cathedrals or in chapels. We can hear the voice and cornet together in Le Concert Brisé's performance of Alessandro Grandi's Salve Regina. Besides tone, Marin Mersenne and Girolamo della Casa also described the cornet in terms of its virtuosic display. Extravagant divisions, also called diminutions, where players added notes or varied an existing melody, were common at this time in music history. In his writings, Mersenne suggested that the cornet should almost always be played in diminution, and della Casa provided numerous examples of the practice in his publication. Certainly, more than any other wind instrument of the time, the cornet lent itself to repertoire that required brilliant technique, on equal footing in many respects, with string instruments like the violin. Here's a piece by Dario Castello, his Sonata Secondo. It's performed in two ways on this recording. On disc 2, Christine Moran plays it on the violin, while on disc 1 of the set, William Dongois plays the same piece on the cornet. Let's hear some of both. Thank you. We've been hearing two versions of the same piece by Dario Castello, a composer who lived and worked in the early part of the 17th century. By the end of the 17th century, the popularity of the cornet had largely died out in favor of violins and oboes and trumpets, though it's worth noting that as late as the 18th century, Bach still composed for the cornet in some of his cantatas and at least one motet. This has been the Harmonia Early Music Podcast. If you'd like to know more about this recording and the cornet, head on over to our website, harmoniaearlymusic.org. While you're there, have a look around at our archive of blogs, podcasts, and shows, and visit our online shop, where a portion of your purchase will benefit Harmonia. I'm Janelle Davis. Thanks for listening.